We are so glad you've chosen to be with us today on Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Lou Anne Crane.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And Dad and Lou Anne, just a few short weeks ago, we began a discussion with two friends of Family Talk about an important event coming up in October. We promised then we'd have them back to talk about it some more, and that is our plan for today.
Ryan, what you're referring to is called Pulpit Freedom Sunday. It's an occasion that's been sponsored by the Alliance Defense Fund every year since 2008. Mm-hmm. And they're hoping and praying, and so are we, for the biggest response yet, mm-hmm. and for very good reason, which we're going to hear about in a moment. But let's quickly introduce our guests today so that we can get started with the conversation. Dr. Jim Garlow is joining us by phone today. He's been our guest many times on Family Talk. He's the senior pastor of Skyline Wesleyan Church in California.
I know you love that church, Dad.
Mm-hmm. I love that man. I really do.
Also joining us here in the studio is Eric Stanley. He is senior counsel for the Alliance Defense Fund at its Kansas City Regional Center and a member of the bar in three different states. He specializes mainly in free speech and religious liberties as they relate to constitutional law.
Well, I'm anxious to begin this discussion. Dr. Garlow, tell us what Pulpit Freedom Sunday is all about.
Well, I think future historians will see this is a very critical day in American history. Pulpit Freedom Sunday is a day in which presumably as many as 1,000 pastors across America will stand and speak with freedom from the pulpit. Some people may say, well, can't they already? Well, there's a functional cultural myth called the Johnson Amendment of the IRS Code that causes many pastors to feel they cannot. And so thanks to the Alliance Defense Fund, a group of over 2,000 allied attorneys, they're helping pastors to be the men and women of God that we're called to be. And the result is we'll speak freely from the pulpit and do what 33 pastors did back in 2008 when they recorded their sermons and they spoke boldly with complete freedom, actually in defiance of the Johnson Amendment because it's ultimately unconstitutional, our attorney friends tell us. And the result is they recorded their sermons, sent them to the IRS, nothing happened. In 2009, 84 pastors did the same thing, recorded their sermons, sent them to the IRS, and nothing happened. In 2010, 100 pastors recorded their sermons, sent them to the IRS, and nothing happened. And this year, my hope and prayer is that 1,000 pastors will stand and do exactly that again as we preach freely without any encumbrances on us, placed on us by the IRS that would keep us from speaking totally with freedom, because First Amendment protection, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion from the pulpit as well.
Eric, let's flesh out the offer that we just heard from Dr. Garlow. 2,000 attorneys who represent ADF are willing to work without cost to the church to defend them if the IRS comes after them.
That's exactly right. And it's because we believe that a pastor has a right to speak freely from the pulpit without fearing any kind of government censorship or control at all. And ultimately, the goal of the Pulpit Initiative is really simple. It's to have the Johnson Amendment declared unconstitutional. And, you know, many people may think that this is a kind of a bold, in-your-face kind of strategy. You know, why are you poking a stick in the eye of the IRS, so to speak? And it's really because the IRS has become incredibly adept at keeping this issue out of court, maintaining this atmosphere of intimidation and fear over the church, and not allowing for the constitutionality of the Johnson Amendment to be decided by a court. And that's the goal of Pulpit Freedom Sunday, is to have that issue come to court and once and for all remove this restriction from the church so that pastors can speak freely and not have to worry about any ramifications mm-hmm. from the government at all.
Jim, you're preaching every Sunday, I assume. Put some wording out there for the pastor that's listening that says, that sounds good to me. I want to be part of this. But I've never done this before, and I don't know what to do. It's probably not going to be a pastor getting up and saying, vote the Democratic Party or vote the Republican Party in 2012. It's probably going to deal with the moral issues in the culture. How do you stand up and say, this is an unusual Sunday. Let me tell you what I'm doing and why, and why it's important to this church. Can you put that into words for us?
Well, you have phrased the question absolutely perfectly, because it's not about a party. Our confidence is not in any Republican or Democrat or party or independents or Libertarian or anybody else. Our confidence is not even in persons, candidates, specific candidates. Our confidence is in principles, and that is biblical principles, because they're God's principles. So in the pulpit, I might say something like this, and I'll be eager for our attorney, Eric Stanley, to make any comments, editorial comments, about my phrasing. But here's the kind of phrasing that I would likely use on that Sunday. And I would say the following candidates have the following positions as it relates to abortion, as it relates to the definition of marriage, as it relates to their view of the national debt, because the national debt is a moral issue, thou shalt not steal from future generations. And that being the case, here's the following candidates that hold these various views of these three and many perhaps other topics. Having said that, here's what the Scripture teaches specifically about that. And after I go through that, as fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we would not want to elect individuals, given the fact that the Bible has a great deal to say about economic or life principles or definition of marriage in the scriptural context. We would not want to persons who are in defiance of God's will in positions of authority over us. What fully devoted follower of Christ would want to defy God's will for how national and community life is to be ordered according to the Scripture? Now, that's the way I would phrase it, being very specific on who the candidates are and where they stand on the issues.
It essentially comes down to use it or lose it, right? We have had rights in the past, and we were willing to allow the IRS and the government to silence us, and we didn't complain, or not enough complained, or not enough defied the order, which is just unconscionable when you consider we're drawing our information for our understanding and interpretation of the Scripture. And then somebody in Washington can tell me that I can't say that. That's what's happened in Sweden. It's what's happening in Canada and in other parts of the country. This is a movement that threatens the very life of the church. And, man, I'm preaching it now, Jim, and I'm not even a pastor.
So. Well, April the 9th, 1945, a man was stripped of all his clothes, taken outside, and hung by a piano wire. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We celebrate how great that man was and what an incredible human being he was and the martyr he became. Why do we celebrate his life? It is because he was a man of God who refused to succumb to the powers of the government to try to control what he would do and say in the pulpit and in his ministerial and pastoral life. And so we're attempting to see before it's too late in America, to raise up a generation of Dietrich Bonhoeffers.
Eric, comment on what Dr. Garlow said. He said he wanted to run it by you from a legal standpoint. Did you hear anything that he said that would be contrary in legal terms?
Well, this is the beauty of Pulpit Freedom Sunday, because we want pastors to be able to say whatever it is that God lays on their heart. And as you know, the Supreme Court said back in the 1940s that no official, high or petty, should be able to prescribe what is orthodox in religion. And we want that statement to be applied to the Johnson Amendment as well, to say that IRS agents have no right and no authority to come in and to say to a pastor, this is what is orthodox in religion, essentially carving out an entire section of the application of Scripture, the section of it, application of it to our national life, the selection of our national leaders, the things that our nation is facing now that the Bible says an awful lot about that pastors have not had the freedom to talk about. And so that's the beauty of Pulpit Freedom Sunday, is to free pastors to do that, to talk from the pulpit, to preach those sermons that may not have been heard for the last 57 years. And that they can do that and know that ADF will stand with them, that we will defend their right to speak the truth and to do that freely.
I think it's amazing. It's interesting. I've heard pastors talk about Bonhoeffer. I've heard them recommend that their congregations read Bonhoeffer, and yet they won't act like Bonhoeffer, even though they say he's a hero and he's someone that we should model our lives after, and they still won't act like him from their own pulpits.
And you consider what Bonhoeffer was facing. You know, he was up against some of the most brutal and bloody tyrants of all times, and the Nazis and the Gestapo. They killed millions of people. And yet this pastor held his ground and accepted the consequences for opposing him, and it cost him his life.
Mm-hmm. And all pastors have to fear today is the IRS and maybe a few disgruntled church members. And I think it's a small price to pay for the freedom of the pulpit, where pastors in the past, when the pulpit was free, had led the way on these moral and social issues, biblical issues that confronted our culture over and over and over again. The pastors have been the voice and the conscience mm-hmm. of the nation mm-hmm. in our history.
And the encroachment on the pulpit is really quite staggering. If we just look over the 57 years since the Johnson Amendment, and we look at the gradual, incremental silencing of the pulpit, the muzzling of the pulpit, to the point there's enough fear in the pulpit that Frank Wright, president of the National Religious Broadcasters Organization, said the number one problem in America, and as far as it relates to the pulpit, is not the government intrusion. It is the now self-censorship that's occurring in the pulpit. Mm. Pastors not even willing to say what they know they can legally say for fear somebody in the congregation will get upset with them.
Dr. Grella, I'd be interested in your past experience whether churches are growing or shrinking because pastors are taking a stand. I'm sure there are parishioners who will get disgruntled and complain, and I'd love to hear a pastor say, I'm sorry if you're upset with this and maybe you need to find another place to go, but from this pulpit, we'll preach freedom.
Hmm. There's been mixed results. There are some pastors that have preached boldly and they've lost some people, and then it's turned around, word began to spread that this was a pastor who won't compromise, and so consequently people came and the church began to really grow significantly. There's others who have, in all reality, as we watch the Prop 8 battle here in California, who have lost and lost fairly significantly. But I don't think our motivation for honoring the Word of God and being free in the pulpit is whether or not the church is going to grow or not going to grow. The day may come in America, it's possible the day may come in America where we'll actually give awards to pastors whose churches shrunk because they refused to compromise mm-hmm. the proclamation of full biblical truth.
Mm. Well, Doctor, I am very pleased to say that we found a few Dietrich Bonhoeffers here in 2011. In fact, we spoke with several gentlemen who actually stood up and defended religious liberty in their pulpits over the past several years. And a way of encouraging those pastors still on the fence, we'd like to hear a few of those right now.
Well, Luann, you know who the people are that we talked to, and you've mm-hmm. heard the recordings. Why don't we listen to them now?
Doctor, these are very courageous men. We're going to hear from three different pastors. First, Pastor Jack Hibbs, the senior pastor at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California. Secondly, Pastor Gus Booth from War Road Community Church in Minnesota. And finally, Matthew Worrell, the senior pastor of Grace Christian Fellowship in Winchester, New Hampshire.
Well, why don't we start as Pastor Hibbs shares what people think about how active his church is in the public policy arena.
I'm sure someone visits the church and they might realize, oh, this is different. You know, this church takes voter registration. This church calls its elected leaders and holds them accountable. They may think that's radical, or some have said, you know, that's political to do such things. I disagree with that. But I have to tell you, there's about 10,000 people that faithfully attend this church every week, and they know that we are involved and they are involved. And in every culture, from Old Testament to New, there is the mandate from the Lord to be salt and light and to be that representation of righteousness that we, I believe, are to engage our culture in love always and rooted in the truth. But we are supposed to speak out against unrighteousness. And they tell us to sit down. They tell us to go back. You can do Christianity inside your walls, but you have no right to come out here and make these statements. But the truth is, I believe that the pastors in America, that Christians in America, for that matter, for the world, really need to stand up and stand for clear, biblically defined issues. Abortion's one, the redefinition of marriage. There is an end coming, and we will stand before our great judge in the end, and we want to be able to answer him that we didn't care about being popular. We wanted to wind up being faithful and wind up on the right side of history.
I had no idea that we would be the first church, you know, in the history of the United States to partake that. And that wound up being a great honor for me. But when we first did it, I just fired away and preached. And then we sent that off to the IRS, and we sent it off to this organization called Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. And that's when, you know, everything kind of broke loose, because they did a press release and then everybody and their brother started calling. And we had no idea. We were a little shell-shocked because we're just a little church in northern Minnesota. And we realized that the IRS was making laws that were not biblical and were in violation of our own laws, i.e. being the Constitution. If the government can tell you what to say from behind the pulpit, then that's a dangerous, you know, society to live in.
There were two races that were coming up in the New Hampshire realm, and the candidates for the governorship were very clearly defined, where our present governor was very pro-choice, and the one running against him was very, very pro-life. So when I was preaching, I was preaching about abortion, and I mapped out in the scriptures how God ordained life. Even if it's conceived in sin, no matter what the reason for it, God has ordained that life, and God has a purpose for that life and a plan for that life. And he loves that little baby, even as he says in this word, "Before I even formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you." There was a man in that group whose girlfriend had just found out that she was pregnant. And I believe that because of embarrassment and a lot of other factors involved, they made the decision to move ahead with an abortion. The abortion had not happened yet. This man was so convicted by this message that when he went back home, he talked to his girlfriend, and they made the decision to cancel that appointment. And from what I understand, they now have a very beautiful little baby girl. And whenever we're willing to stand for the Lord in any aspect and speak in love, but yet with authority from the scriptures, it's going to affect people's lives. And the more timid we are in the pulpit and the less loving we are from the pulpit, the less change actually happens. And so I thank ADF and so many others that challenged us pastors to make a stand. For whatever reason, for whatever comes out of this, I know that there's a little girl that's alive today that probably would not have been if it wasn't for Pulpit Freedom Sunday.
Boy, that is touching. Some of us here have tears in our eyes, having heard what that pastor said.
Doctor, it takes it out of the political realm and it puts it right into the nature of the family, the moral issue, and God's heart. You can't go wrong there.
Mm. Well, Eric, I think it's important to mention that there have been zero repercussions, no lawsuits, nothing has happened to these pastors except saving the life of an unborn baby.
Well, that's right. I think it encapsulates it. But Pastor Gus Booth that we heard from, in fact, the IRS did start an audit of his church. ADF stood with him, but then they dropped it very soon after that audit started, and there's been absolutely no repercussions for anything that he said from the pulpit.
Yeah, he was extremely bold. You know, he tweaked the noses of the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State and the IRS, and yet nothing came of it. But this pastor showed incredible courage in doing what he did.
In the first speaker, in his comments, that's Pastor Jack Hibbs Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. He referenced, "They don't care what we do as long as we do it in our walls." That's essentially true, but in this particular case, they're intruding even in the walls of our church in terms of what we can say in the pulpit. So there's an enormous difference. The attempt of the government to reduce our freedoms, even to the point of controlling what a pastor says in his pulpit, in the four walls of the church.
Pastor Garlow, it's my understanding that Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, and the Department of State have attempted to confuse the definition and the understanding of freedom of religion with freedom of worship. If they can get us to accept that, then we get herded into the four walls of our churches, and we've completely lost the freedom to move into the marketplace.
Yes, both our current president and our current secretary of state have both used the phrases freedom of worship recently. Now, some might say, what's the difference? No, we don't have freedom of worship. We have freedom of religion. The difference is substantial. Freedom of worship would mean we only have the authority to do what we want in the four walls of our church, how we worship. But freedom of religion means as we live out our religious convictions, it splashes over well outside the walls of our church, certainly into our family life, our personal life, and into community life, and ultimately into national life. So it is a wrong use of the term to say freedom of worship, because that merely constrains to what even happens only in our church. But even beyond that, Pulpit Freedom Sunday is only addressing what happens in our church. And what right would the government have to dictate to any pastor anything that he should say or not say from the pulpit?
Dr. Garlow, I remember that during the Proposition 8 battle, you and your family and your church were severely criticized, and there was even concern for your physical well-being. Has that died down a little bit now?
Yes, it's died down across the state, not only for me, but for numerous pastors who really had to have extremely high security during those days. So it's considerably better. It only crops back up each time we're involved with something like an occasional national interview or for all practical purposes, an interview like this.
And it crops up. Sorry
again.
About
and
that.
We were involved heavily with the awesome prayer meeting that drew, I don't know, 30 or 35,000 in Houston called The Response a few weeks ago. And so it crops up at about that time, but it's considerably more bearable than what it has been at the past. There was a stretch there with the organization I had in Washington, D.C., Renewing American Leadership, where we literally had to almost shut down our website because of attacks from some national networks and such. But it's considerably improved now.
I have the feeling it wouldn't make any difference even if the attacks were still continuing at that level.
I take my orders from God,
yeah.
Not from them.
Well, that's why we appreciate you so much, Jim. I want to remind our listeners that Family Talk is not a church, but we're going to stand up and be counted too, and we may
right.
also pay a price for it. There is so much hostility out there for anyone who dares to identify with the name of Christ, and none of us knows how far that hostility will go. But so what? You know, the Lord's in control and He owns it all. And we're going to continue to let our listeners know about this movement. Eric, what else do you want to tell us about it?
Well, I think it's important to know that some pastors courageously have stood in the past already in 2008, 2009, and 2010. And we want other pastors now to come along. And regardless of what the IRS chooses to do, whether the IRS chooses to come after some of these churches, to threaten audits, to maybe institute audits against these churches, ADF is going to stand with those churches. But regardless of that, pastors need to speak freely. Even if the IRS doesn't do anything, we want pastors to continue to speak, and we want this to become a nationwide movement of pastors who are not afraid to stand and speak the truth. And in essence, really proclaim that, so to speak, the emperor has no clothes. The law is not going to be enforced, and pastors are, in fact, free to speak and to do that with their constitutional rights.
And Dr. Dobson, it seems as important to me as a pastor for pastors to know this ultimately has nothing to do, again, with a political party or even with persons or candidates. It's biblical principles. And then secondly, and this may be the core of the issue, this is not an issue of right versus left. This is an issue of right versus wrong.
Dr. Garlow and Eric Stanley, thank you all for being our guests again. And I just want you to know we are standing with you four square. And let us know what we need to know and what we can pass along to our listeners.
Well, thank you for having us, and it's been a pleasure.
It's a joy to be with you, Dr. Dobson.
And what an eye-opening conversation this has been with our guests today, Ryan. If listeners want to find out more about Pulpit Freedom Sunday, especially how they can get their own pastor and church involved, the starting place is familytalk.org.
And we strongly encourage you to either send your pastor or pastors a link to this broadcast at familytalk.org or request a complimentary CD and pass it along to them personally. If you'd like to call us for that, our phone number is 877- 877-732-6825.
And when you're on the phone or at familytalk.org, would you consider giving a donation to the work of Family Talk? We are deeply committed to defending righteousness in the culture, but we need your help.
Again, you can give at familytalk.org or when you call, our number one last time, 877-732-6825.
Thanks for spending this time with us today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow when we'll hear an amazing story of grief and restoration on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, where family comes first.
And finally, you said, listen to what? And I held the phone down and Lincoln was screaming and you said, I'm a grandpa.
What does love look like for married couples who don't want to take the easy way out?
That's a point at which love must be tough.
As a parent, how do you connect with your child?
And if a father wants to get into his daughter's world, he has to listen to her.
We cover it all right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.